Hey, everybody, and welcome into episode 11 of Comics for All. Well, first off, I want to thank everybody for sticking around. We had quite a bit of trouble with the stream before the holiday, and then it took us a little while to kind of get back in the swing of things, get everybody's schedules back on track, but we are here, we are excited, and we are really stoked about 2019, so I hope everybody is ready to go, ready for some new episodes, and we look forward to reviewing some comics. We have quite a few amazing creators lined up already for some fun interviews for everybody as well, so be on the lookout for those episodes coming shortly. And on this one, you know, just a quick recap of 2018, some things we loved, some things we you know, wish we still had around, and we hope you guys enjoy. So feel free to follow us on Twitter at All for Comics, where you can find myself and Pete and so many others for interactions out there, and join in any of the conversations you hear, not only on today's episode but on any episode of Comics for All. So thank you all so much. I hope you enjoy the episode, and here it is. Comic books it is. Comic books for life, comic books for all.
And here we go.
In brightest day,
in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
We go. Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new year and a brand new Comics for All. We're back, everybody. I know you thought we would never come around in 2019, but guess what? We did. We're healthy. We're ready to go. And, you know, 2019, look out, because you're going to get rocked by this wonderful podcast and all my fantastic friends on this podcast who are all holding back laughs of tears and jokes right now. And the first person I'm going to introduce, just because her screen is on my screen right now and I see all of her wonderful figures and a box of comic, it's just amazing right now. Lulz Panda. Allie, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, geek?
Yeah, look at you. You're all in your chef gear and stuff right now. You look so pro.
I'm so pro. I ran directly from work to the comic book store, and from directly to the comic book store to grab breakfast for dinner, and then home to come talk to you beautiful people.
I mean, there's no real time to have breakfast besides for dinner, so as far as I'm concerned. Glad to have you, Allie. Good to see you. Good to hear you. Good to be with you on our new show, number 11. Next on the list, we have Mr. Pete. How you doing, sir? Your beard is looking as beautiful as ever.
Well, thank you. I know your beard has good taste, and I know it makes you do things. So thank you, beard.
It gives me it talks to me in my dreams, only in my dreams, like the void.
For some reason, it always looks like a platypus.
It's got these weird, like, H.P. Lovecraft, like, whisperings to me at night, you know? It's like, I just got to stay away. No eldritch horrors. No. And that chuckle you just heard was Mr. Max, who has this Krampus beard blowing in the wind in his studio right now. It is fantastic.
It's fluttering in the wind here. Yeah, for sure.
Nice, man. How you doing, sir?
Doing good. Glad to be, you know, back in 2019. And I'm excited that we're going to have so many more shows this year. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, I like it. Nice. And the next fantastic guest, you thought you missed her. You're like, maybe you're thinking, hold on, I thought there were two females on this show. Well, you were correct. Not only are there two females, but they're two amazing human beings and fantastic comic book readers as well. Marley Ba, what's up, lady? How you doing?
Oh, just lay on more flattery. I could sit here all night.
You got it. No problem. Here comes the compliment cannon.
No, not the compliment cannon. It gets confetti all over the place.
Oh, got it. All right. I'll hold back with that. So you're welcome. How you doing? How's your 2019 treating you?
It's treating me okay.
Good.
You know, work is work. Fun is fun. Eventually the two will collide.
Hey,
not sure when.
Sometime, somewhere, they'll meet and intersect paths, and you'll just won't know what to do with yourself. You just won't know what to do. It'll be insane.
I won't know what to do with myself, but you know what? That's okay. As long as I don't have to think about platypus beards. I mean,
hey, you know what though? All great beards start with a platypus beard. So I'm just gonna say that.
All right, fine. Fair enough. What would I know?
Exactly. Grow a beard. Anyways, that's a lesson for today. Grow a beard. With that being said, let's do a little recap of our 2018 life. We have Dancing Cats. I thought that was more like 2015, but hey, they always sneak in. They own the internet. Dancing Cats are timeless, according to Marley. I won't agree with that one, though, unfortunately.
He's also a
Bob's
kitty.
There he is. Oh, Jesus. So let's jump in. Let's do a couple recaps. I just want to talk to y'all real fast. I miss talking to y'all. I haven't talked to y'all in months now. We've been able to chat with amazing people online, but not with each other. So let's talk just a little bit about some of our favorite comic books from last year, man. I think 2018 had some amazing, very big seminal moments of comic books with some of our biggest characters having amazing issue numbers and big issues in general. Let's start off with you, Allie. What do you got for us? What were some of your favorite books? Some of your just favorite reads. It doesn't have to be books or anything like that. What you got for us?
Oh, man. I've honestly been reading so much. Probably the greatest arc. I love to hate it. is... you know, the Nightwing, KGB Beast, Batman arc. I just thought that what Tom King did and what they're doing, I'm not in love with what they're doing with Dick Grayson right now, or Rick Grayson.
We won't go that far. We won't go down that rabbit hole right now.
No, that's a whole nother podcast.
Deal.
Rick sounds so much more stupid than
I'm loving what they're doing with that. I'm reading so much good stuff. A lot of stuff that just came out. If you're not reading The Freeze is a fantastic book. It's about the world where everybody on the planet has been literally frozen. Time continues to go, but people are frozen, and there's one man who can touch you and unfreeze you. But
there are freeze tag.
Kind of, but there's mad consequences to... If you touch somebody, for example, he, not a spoiler, but he touches a woman who was pregnant and wakes her up, and she has a miscarriage because the baby did not unfreeze inside of her.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, so it gets really dark. Issue 2 just came out, which was amazing. I can't tell you what happened because huge spoilers, but that book is something to keep on your radar. It's absolutely fantastic. I'm just trying to pick it up and find.
Yeah, you sold me on issue 1, Frozen Cryogenic Babies. So please don't spoil issue 2. So.
Oh, absolutely not. It was absolutely phenomenal. It's written by Dan Wickline and Philip Seve does the art, and it's actually published by Top Cow.
Nice.
Obviously, another one to look out for is The Batman Who Laughs. I'm a big, huge Batman fan, if you can't tell by my tattoos and my obsession with Batman.
Tattoos, there's Joker and Harley Quinn statues behind you, Batman statues. I mean, yeah, you seem to be a fan.
TSA animated box, too.
Okay, there we go. Good. Remember, we're on a podcast. We need narration
for
visuals.
Yeah, give us visual. Man, this is great radio content you're giving us.
Oh, yeah. Scott Snyder did that with Jock, and Jock is amazing. He's an amazing artist. I love him.
Heck yeah.
And then just quick, Gideon Falls, if you like horror, that book is a total, like, mind bender. Juke Joint also, if you kind of like horror, but I will mention, I think I've mentioned before, there's a lot of trigger warnings in that book. The book comes with a trigger warning as the first page. So if disclaimer, it's not for kids at all. And if you are sensitive to certain graphic content, that's not the book for you. But if you are twisted like me, that book is phenomenal and I love it. So that's my spiel.
Nice. Hey, I think you finished 2018 and went through 2018 with some badass books right there. So I'm into it, man. I love it. So Mr. Max, anything you think we should have picked up or maybe we would have missed, or what were just some of your favorite reads over the year, man?
I'm gonna like count them down.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's
five.
Fine.
I think the first one, you know, this is really hard to try to pick, like, you know, I guess even a handful, because like there's so many good ones. Allie mentioned Gideon Falls. That one was so dang good. You know, I think if I'm gonna do number five, I'm gonna try to race through these, but five would probably be one called Infidel, and I don't know how to pronounce their names necessarily, but it's by Pornchek Pinochoti,
yeah,
and Aaron Campbell. Pinochoti, if I'm pronouncing that right, he's a former Vertigo editor. But it's really, really cool. It's about a young Muslim woman, and she's basically being stalked off these spirits that feed off of the xenophobia and racism in her neighborhood. So it's very much like Get Out. It has a lot of Get Out vibes, those of you that have seen that movie. But it's a little bit darker, I think, and it's very, I guess... it's just a really, really great book. The characters are really drawn in a realistic style, striking colors on the pages. The monsters and environment that this stuff takes place in is just twisted and awesome, but also realistic, so that you can relate to it. So, I mean, amazing book, put out by Image. Please go and see it. The other book that, probably number four, would probably be Monstrous. I know a lot of you are familiar with this book. I mean, this is a book that I've been kind of, you know, I love it, but I don't want to admit to myself that I love it as much as I do, which is kind of ridiculous. But it's by Marjorie Liu and Sana Takeda. I mean, this book is just unreal. And I mean, it's been nominated for an Eisner. I mean, the art in it is just unreal amazing. I mean, some of the most intricate art that I've ever seen in a comic. I mean, every single page looks like it takes like weeks to draw. I mean, it's gorgeous. You know, it has one of the best just hardcore fantasy narratives in it as well. I mean, it is fantastic. So, you know, people should go and check it out. Don't be afraid that it might look like an anime, because it's not, and it's so good. If you're not into anime. Number three, and I've talked about this a lot on the show, is Harrow County. That was one of my favorite books.
Yes.
And again, just, you know, those of you that haven't read it, go read it. All good things come to an end, and unfortunately that book had to come to an end.
So I am going to interrupt you for 2 seconds with Harrow County, even though I wanted to do Infidel, because I talked about Infidel on an earlier show when it dropped, and that I was blown away by that book. But Harrow County has completely stopped my reading of most of the more updated and newer books right now, because you told me about it. I picked up like 5 issues and I was just like, oh my gosh, I had to just start consuming this Harrow County. No, it's so good. It's so fantastic. So good, man. Oh.
It's just so fantastic. And, you know, Colin Bunn and Tyler Crook, they did such an amazing, just brilliant job on that book. And, you know, again, I'm really bummed to see it end, but oh man, what a ride was. It was one of the best books that I've had the pleasure of reading in a long time.
Nice.
Number two, was a book that was a little bit weird, and a lot of people haven't heard of this book, but it was called Judas, by Jeff Loveless and Jacob Rebelka, I think his name is. It's a book put out by Boom, and it's about Judas Iscariot. And, you know, as we all know, he's the villain in the Christ tale. I mean, I come from a very Catholic background, so, you know, I was inundated with, you know, Judas Iscariot, this and that. But it's interesting because it really kind of twists the biblical narrative, and it talks about how, you know, Judas basically was this sort of sacrificial character, and he's kind of like a pawn in like a gigantic chess game. And this is, I mean, an absolutely fantastic book. It's a really, I think, provocative and kind of controversial look at, you know, what I think maybe might be history's most notorious villain. You know, you look at the book like this, and the art, Rebelka's art, is just gorgeous. I mean, it's intricate, it's detailed. The images of like hell and just the horror and the vastness of that realm are just absolutely amazing. You know, and the story is absolutely terrific, and it's really unexpected in the way that it goes. And great book for horror fans, great book for fans of The Preacher, The Goddamn, that sort of stuff. Take a look at Judas book put out by Boom Studios. It's fantastic. And then number one, and this is probably going to be a number one that, you know, most people have on their list. It's very almost cliche pick at this point, is Mr. Miracle.
Oh, you know, yes.
By Tom and Mitch. I mean, this book is just unreal good.
I mean, come on.
You know, we can, there's so many good things that you can say about it. You know, just taking Jack Kirby's Fourth World and, you know, turning it into this awesome sort of, like, you know, slice of life story. And you know, it was just fantastic. You know,
word choice.
Yeah.
I had no idea that I needed to watch Darkseid eating a veggie platter and then ripping his eyeball out. That was something that I needed as a human being to exist.
Yeah, I'm so happy it's part of my memory banks right now, is that exact moment, Allie, and I'm so happy it'll never leave. So I'm
Every time you feel sad, just go to that issue and find him eating a veggie platter, and it's like, Darkseid ate the veggie platter. It's cool, no worries.
Dear director man, the anti-life equation is knowledge, and as such, cannot be destroyed. But also, by the way, hello listeners, how are you? Welcome back to our usual professional spoiler warnings. By the way,
cut that in later.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I think when you read Mr. Miracle, it really makes you feel that like you're in the process of reading one of the greatest comics ever published as it was coming out. And that's why it was so rewarding. Every issue as it was coming out, you knew that this is going to be an indelible classic for years to come. So,
yeah.
So just out of curiosity, I'm sorry. Max, since we've already done, this is major spoilers, people. So turn me off right now if you don't want major spoilers. Max, what was your take on the ending of that book?
Because I can't reveal that yet. I mean, that has to be revealed in like a bonus section of our episode.
Let's not, just for the one off weird, because here's the thing, and here's one of the things I was looking at, right? And just because you brought it up, you know, I had Pete and Max, you guys looked up some stuff, and Pete went and found the top selling books of 2018, novels, things like that. And I'm absolutely blown away that Mr. Miracle was not on any of these lists of top tens.
Well, it's not very surprising though. I mean, Mr. Miracle was never like a very popular character necessarily.
I just remember it had hype all around it though. Every publisher I followed, every store I walked into, it felt like it was everywhere. Like I felt like I ran into it everywhere I went. And for it not to be in any of those lists is a little surprising to me. Now, I know, yes, this thing's filled with, you know, saga and it's just, you know, Batmans and Spider-Mans and all that great stuff. But still, it's like this felt like one of those books, like you said, that people are not going to forget anytime for decades and decades and decades. Right. It's just going to be one of those books where they're like, hey, early 2000s, you know, what was a book that we should be reading if I'm not a huge comic book fan, or I'm a huge comic book fan, I may have checked this out. I feel like this should be on that list.
It kind of reminded me of when, you know, DC was publishing the Omega Man though, with the End Is Near storyline. That was also by Tom King and no one was buying that, but that was one of the best possible books that you could possibly buy. And, you know, they weren't even going to finish that arc. And, you know, they threw such a fit when DC announced that they were going to cancel it, that they allowed Tom to finish it. But, you know, it's just, you know, one of those things it's not a very popular character. So
whatever, I'm biased. I like Swamp Thing.
To be fair, this is Diamond Comic Distributors is essentially a monopoly on the comic distribution business.
100%.
And there have got to be into thousands of comic titles being released each year at this point, if you include all the publishers who do hit shelves somewhere, even if you don't hit the digital only folks. And so it just as easily could have still been in like top 12 or 13, you know?
It could, yeah.
It could have dropped 10 out of everything
into a 15 or 20. You're absolutely right. I get it. But I don't know. I just felt like I saw this book everywhere I went on, and even with digital sales, it was everywhere on digital as well. When I was going to Amazon and Comixology and things like that too, I could not escape that book. And I felt like some other stuff that I even really enjoyed over the year was, you know, it kind of went its way after a couple months, but man, it just seemed like Mr. Miracle just kept popping up all year long. So like I said, what do I know? I'm a Swamp Thing fan, so whatever. Marley, give us a couple of comics, the top five if you got them, but if not, no worries. What were some of your favorites, Lester?
Well, of course, Fantastic Four has to be on that list. How can it not?
Yep.
You know,
we've talked about that one a lot. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. it's not a Marley's Here podcast until I mention it. I do have to say Magic Order is also really, really high on my list. That so has, yeah, it's so good.
And by the way, we have to, I want you all to make sure you write your lists down, because we're going to bring this up a little bit later in the show as a little bit of a game. So just make sure you have your lists down, by the way.
Oh boy.
Go captain, my captain.
Sleepless.
Sleepless.
And The Highest House. And I'd have to say Batman's Wedding.
Yeah, 50 was dope. Yeah, 50 was great. It was,
yeah. I mean, talk about, like, just really, really getting there. Other than that, most of what I've been reading has been, like, older stuff, and I've been picking up trades and educating myself on a lot of stuff and just feeding my interests. So, but in terms of those from this year, that's my top five list.
Cool. I dig it.
Yeah.
Mr. Pete, what you got for us, my man?
Well, I too will go for the one that will shock everybody and also echo Mr. Miracle, because, oh man, I did not have as strong an impression from the beginning, because it has such a strongly negative one, and you'll see what I mean if you're one of those who's listening and haven't read it yet. But then by the time issue 11 of 12 rolled around, I was jonesed for knowing, okay, what happens next? How does it all finish? Like, I haven't been in a long time, after genuinely not being offended or anything like that, but just looking at number one and saying, that very first page and saying, I don't know if this is going to be my speed. This might not be my cup of tea. And oh, so good. So good. Of course, Sparta and the Furies as well did not hurt this at all. And Funky. Ah, just so much good in there. That's so, so much funky. Good in there.
Funky is always a fantastic way to describe anything, in my opinion. So,
especially Funky Flashman. Funky was amazing.
Nice.
Keep Batman away from babies. Just remember, keep Batman away from babies.
Keep him away. Anything else?
Yeah. Absolutely. I have to throw Fantastic Four in there as well. Nice. But not what you think. Back in October, Marvel did this amazing stealth release where you would look on your shelf and just, boom, Fantastic Four number one by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Sitting there. $3.99. If you're somebody listening and or on the cast who's been following the Twitter well enough too, I've babbled about it on there too, but it was just awesome. It was a complete reprint, including the original colors and ads. And followed it up with, I think, a complete cover gallery of every Fantastic Four number one homage cover that Marvel has published. And a complete reprint of every, like, Fantastic Four omnibus forward written by various people in the back of the book as well. It was awesome. Don't know if it's at all easy to find anymore, but highly recommend it if you do know where to find it. Sweetheart. Speaking of digital only, our buddy from Dylan Gilbertson and Yakinta, I think, that's not how I pronounce your name. I'm sorry.
We'll apologize on Twitter about it.
The entire thanks, boss. Most of the tweets are mine, guys. He's a great director. But yeah, that, like I've told Gilbertson, and like I will happily never stop saying, that team just knocked a tried and true, just classic kind of ghost story or horror story, and the visual and the plot and the characters and the designs out of the park in every way. It felt like I was a kid and hearing about the bloody hook hanging from the door handle again. It was awesome. And I am so psyched that, and honestly, I thought, oh, that was a great story. And then I found out there's more issues. Like, there's more? Slated to go for 6. Currently on 2? Yes, currently on 2.
Two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But one of the ones that just had me hankering for more, though, every time it came out, one of the big ones that really cemented my, yeah, I'm just going to make comics a problem. Like, not a hobby, but just I completely have a problem with comics. speaking of other just incredible teams, Liam Marsharp, Romulo Fajardo Jr., Troy Pateri. Yes, this is in my hand. Shut up.
I mean, it doesn't sound like you're reading it straight from the comic book, except it kind of looks like you are. But I, you know, it's
again
a secret. Secret of the podcast. Secret of the podcast. Secret of the podcast.
But it was incredible. It really was, and I cannot adequately express how and why this is wonderful. Outside of it is a murder mystery in the land of Tir-na-n-Og that Batman and Wonder Woman are investigating.
Oh yeah.
And dead seriously, listeners, I want you to hear what my co-hosts and Director Man have to say to pages 2 and 3 here. Don't even try to read the dialogue boxes because my tablet's not that good.
That's not fun.
But take a look at this 2-page spread.
Yeah, those splashes are ridiculous.
Actually, there's something in particular that really sold me on it, because I was looking at it first and I thought, that's awesome.
Is it?
And then I got a good look right here.
Who's that?
From, I don't know, but from any angle. Right at you, like
eyes looking and everything. At you. Okay, I dig it.
And I was just looking at the whole scene, so I noticed him. I kind of glanced at him, and then I noticed him like, oh,
terrifyingly looking at you from the bottom left corner of your book.
And it's the land of the fairy, so it fits perfectly.
Nice.
That's a thing. Just, you know, delicious.
Well, maybe, drop the title. Fanboy. You gave all the amazing people.
The Brave and the Bold, there Batman and Wonder Woman.
There it is.
It made me a Liam R. Sharp and Romulo Fajardo Jr. And, you know, honestly, and Troy Pateri fanboy.
Nice.
All three gentlemen just made sumptuous work. Absolutely.
Well, there you go, man. I dig it. Fantastic drops as well, and honestly Sweet Tooth was one of those ones, or Sweetheart was one of those ones that it came out of nowhere, man. I was really happy we got a chance to look at that a little early. That was fantastic preview. For myself, you know, Mr. Miracle was on my list, but I won't talk any more about that. I think we gave that some great shine and it deserves it, and if you have not read it, you have to go and pick that up if you are a comic book reader and just love a good story. Another one of the books that just kind of surprised me and literally surprised everybody was Die, Die, Die by Kirkman, dropping on the Wednesday of Comic-Con in San Diego, and told no one that it was coming to come. I mean, I was literally at his panel in the convention and like, oh God, where's the nearest comic book store in San Diego? Damn it, it's too far away. I have to go buy it at 3 times the price. Which I did happily, so I wasn't, you know, it's all right.
That book's fantastic.
It's phenomenal.
I love that book. I mean, it's creepy, or it's not creepy, but it's like weird, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
I'm really into it. One of the books, honestly, that I forgot why I picked it up. I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and I think Max had mentioned something about it, and I was just like, you know what, I've seen this. I think someone that I, you know, Max, obviously I trust with books, I'm gonna go check this out. But Shade the Changing Woman released this year as well, and just such a great art style, just absolutely visually a phenomenal story told in those books. I can't recommend them enough. Cecil Castellucci is on that line writing them, so just phenomenal story from Shade the Changing Woman. Spider-Man number 1 was also on my list because my boy Ryan Ottley doing the pencils on that. It you can't do much more iconic figures than Spider-Man. You know, he's one of those great ones, but when you get that art style from Ryan Ottley on Spider-Man, there's just something really special to kind of see that and watch how amazing his work is on the pages. So I'm going to give that one a little bit of love because it was a great run and it's still a great run. I'm really enjoying that actually right now. And then my shameless plug, because I felt that it went under the radar, even though it had a big release, and it was something that kind of disseminated a loss in the comic book industry very early in 2018. But Swamp Thing, the Winter Special, was just absolutely phenomenal. And yes. Talk about something visually stunning. Lynn Stein's last book of Swamp Thing is in that as well. And if you can get your hands on a copy of it, you will not be disappointed with it. So check out Swamp Thing, the Winter Special as well. So.
So good.
He was my go-to Batman guy as a kid, even before I really even realized that, oh, there's consistent, you know, there's different artist and writer teams, or that there were teams, really. But him, Lin-Wen, and Jim Aparo on Batman was just magic, and Swamp Thing Winter Special, I think, is what kicked off DC's big push on doing the Winter Special, the Beach Blanket Bad Guy Special, the Halloween Special, because,
yeah.
Oh, man, people went nuts over it, and like you said, deservedly so.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, let's remember also that it's also a tribute to the late, great, amazing Bernie Wrightson. So
Bernie, yeah, for sure, absolutely, 100% too, absolutely. And you know, a lot of loss, a lot of things like that. Obviously, with 2018. You can't talk about that year without mentioning, you know, we've sung his praises a million times probably on this show before, and I'm sure we're going to do that again right now, but we're going to talk just a little bit of time we're going to dedicate to the late, amazingly great, never will be beaten Stan Lee. You know,
progenitor of one of our other favorite giant green guy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And just, you know, anybody that wants to kind of jump in on this one, man, I'm just gonna open the stage to it. But just a couple of words, a couple of thoughts, man, on maybe kind of that day when you first heard the news about losing Stan Lee, man.
I met him twice.
Yeah, I know, you rub it in my face often, jerk.
I know. Stop looking at my Instagram. You'll feel better about yourself. No,
it's true.
In all seriousness.
Continue.
Anyway, he signed my Spider-Man 238, which was like the highlight of my life. But he actually sat and talked to me because they couldn't figure out how to work the camera. So he was sitting and talking to me, and he was a fascinating human being. So he was just so kind and so humble, and I think there was a small part of him, even at 94 years old, that he honestly couldn't understand why we idolized him so much. And to him, he was just a guy writing stories, right? You know, like, whatever. But to us, it was something that we can all, at some point, have all looked and gone, man, I'm having a bad day, and you pick up a comic. And the comics that we know and love today, he had a huge hand in creating this geek community, and this love for books and the appreciation for artistry and the appreciation for writing that went from being, you know, nickel books at a store to something that, like, we're now podcasting about because we all love them so much. So he was super kind. He was super nice, and it was heartbreaking. My heart broke, you know, a little bit when my mom, like 15 people texted me and are like, oh my God, did you hear Stan Lee passed away? And I was like, well, that's kind of a downer, you know? And I mentioned it to somebody at work. And like one of my coworkers and I are big comic book geeks together at work. So the two of us had our little moment of silence and garmage while we're making salads, all sad and like, this sucks. But I'm really fortunate to have gotten to meet him and talk to him and ask him questions and hear his thoughts on, you know, he really loved his fans. At the end of the day, he did it for us, and he was just a genuinely humble and modest and kind person. Yeah. So I feel lucky for having gotten to meet him.
And he wouldn't have liked the fact to hear that someone got soggy croutons because of his passing. So, you know.
Sorry, Stan.
No. Never too early for a good joke with Stan Lee, man. I definitely miss the guy. Yeah. Anybody else? I'm sure everybody wants to take a little bit of time. So we'll go down the line. Marley?
Yeah, it was definitely one of those things where it's like I couldn't really believe that he had passed. Yeah. I remember several of my students just being absolutely devastated when they found out. And honestly, I think that's really a good reflection of how we're all kind of handling it. Is, you know, it's like we're really sad to see him go. You know, here's this man who's larger than life, who we always figured would always be around. And it's like, oh, no, those pages are blank now. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Pete, how about you, man?
Couldn't really go into full detail on, like, all the comics' impacts ever, you know. That he had a hand in the impact that it had on me if I tried, but three things definitely come right to mind, and that's that the day his death is announced, that even NASA put up a shot from a live shot from the Hubble Space Telescope to remind us to keep believing and stands on her, and I just thought that was awesome, and it really was just gorgeous. The stars looked so much like gold, and the fact that you know, there's been almost, you know, people talk a lot less about it these days, but there used to be, a really big battle for whatever reason between Star Trek and Star Wars fans. For some reason, for a long time, people have really wanted to just battle over, all right, how much did Stan create? What did he really create versus who other did? Be that as it may, there was a time in the early days when he and Secretary Flo Steinberg were the only people running the company.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's you know, him, the superpowered force he was behind the business is, I would dare say, very inarguable.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's easy to say, you know, people always take sides of the aisle on kind of everything, especially on comic books, right? You know, you have DC, Marvel, all that stuff. But I don't care what genre you're into. Even people who are purely about books and hate visual media in general, everybody's going to agree Stan Lee was someone that was very special and very big in every single media platform we have for the most part. I mean, if there's probably a CD out there of him rapping something, so he even has music fans, but it's one of those things, right? He's touched a little bit of every single big source of media out there with his writings, with his visual art style, and now a whole new generation with the movies. So it's hard to deny his impact on that. So I think that's a phenomenal call there, Pete. Max, oh, yeah. How about you, my man?
You know, it's really hard to think of things to say about Stan that, you know, all of us haven't heard a dozen times over. You know, I could probably fill a good portion of an episode with, you know, just stories that I have about my interactions with Stan Lee, of which I was really lucky because I was able to have a lot of them. You know, but I think, you know, like I said, just to be, you know, touch upon, I guess, the cliche, because we've all heard it before. I mean, his contribution to pop culture was, you know, revolutionary, and it can't be, you know, overstated, really. I mean, this was a guy who, you know, helped to create a universe where we could lose ourselves from our, you know, the minutiae of maybe our everyday lives, to inspire us to be better and to look towards, you know, different horizons and to grow as people as well. I think that was one of the ways that I really, as a child, valued Stan Lee, or really got to know Stan Lee, was through, you know, Stan's soapbox and, you know, reading about the lessons that he would write about in those books and in growing up. And you know, he wrote a lot about, you know, prejudice and racism and, you know, just treating people right. And, you know, I think it really resonated with me. So, you know, not only was he a pioneering force and, you know, this sort of superhero universe that we have, but, you know, he was a good person, you know, he was a creative genius, and, you know, we're really indebted to this guy, you know, and so many are indebted to him, but I think just culturally we're really indebted to him. And I don't think that, you know, there's not going to be another person, I think, that's going to be, you know, giving us the amount of adventure and escape and comfort and inspiration and strength and friendship and joy that he did, while also, like, just, you know, giving like as much love and kindness to his fans as he could possibly give. And so it was a huge loss, and you know, it's a sad thing to see him go, and you know, and we just have to honor him and remember the things that he said, the lessons that we learned from him moving forward. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a crazy day when he passed. I was currently moving and running away from a fire in Northern California into Southern California, and it was already it was already a pretty heavy day at that time, as ash is falling around me loading up a moving truck. And you know, I started getting, my phone started blowing up, and you know, I'm like, I was ready to look at it, kind of upset. Like, I'm getting out of here. Like, I'm okay. Like, stop. People are probably worrying about me. Like, I'm fine. You know, and I'm ready to just be done with the day. And all of a sudden, it's all of these messages about Stan Lee. And it was crazy that all of those things going on in my life right there had just kind of, it was one of those weird slow-mo moments, right? Where you're just like, whoa, like, that's a real fucking thing that just happened.
Yeah.
And that was heavy. So as far as him being those icons and things like that, he is a guy that it doesn't matter where you see him, that image of him, kids, I mean, my grandparents know Stan Lee. Like, yeah. It's crazy. And they're not comic book readers. They are not comic book fans. They're not comic book movie fans. They've probably never seen a Spider-Man movie, but they know who Stan Lee is. My grandfather uses him as a crossword puzzle answer. You know, like, this guy is an ultimate, you know, just legend and icon. So definitely may he rest in peace, man. And I do have to say, he is still confirmed for two movies in 2019, Captain Marvel and Avengers 4. He was announced that both of his cameos in that were filmed and will be on screen. So we are going to get to see him kind of at his best a couple more times this year. And I don't know, man. I'm hoping for some great crowds, and I'm sure he's going to get some round of applause and some cheers when he's up on those screens. So what I will have to say out there for everybody listening, man, when he is on those screens, I expect to hear of some great love that was shared for Stan when he hops on those big silver screens a couple more times. And let's enjoy him, because I'm sure they'll be phenomenal, and they'll be kind of the last times we get to see him for quite some time, I'm sure. So, with that also being said, we also lost another great comic book legend of 2019 as well, with Mr. Ron Smith, and that was very recently, actually. That was within this last 2 weeks here that he was lost. I'm not 100 super familiar with his work besides Judge Dredd, but I am going to hand that over to Max right now, and I'll let Pete, I'm sure, talk about him a little bit more as well. There you go. See, kids, you can do it. I promise. Just keep trying real hard. About what he meant to this industry, because he was a legend, man. 94 when he passed away, and was working up through most of the 2000s before he was stricken by some pretty horrendous you know, side effects and diseases of his own. You know, I'll let you guys kind of take over there and chat a little bit about Mr. Ron Smith.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was born in 1929, and he was working on comics almost until the day that he died. I mean, you know, he was, you know, what was interesting, because I'm kind of a World War II guy, but he was a Royal Air Force pilot. He flew Spitfires during the Second World War, you know, and this was he was a fantastic artist. I mean, what do you say? I mean, you know, anyone who's read 2000 AD, I mean, anyone who's a Judge Dredd fan knows Ron Smith and knew his work. I think the first time that I ever saw it, could be incorrect, but I know that he did, those of you that are kids of the 80s might remember Mask, M.A.S.K., you know, you guys know that. And he drew that. I mean, he worked on Transformers. You know, this was a guy who did a lot of different things. And, you know, it's a sad loss for the industry. I mean, you know, he I mean, I don't even know how many decades he worked on, you know, newspaper strips and, you know, comic strips and numerous different comics and genres. I mean, I think he even did album covers as well for a ton of different bands and artists. So, you know, super talented guy. And
it's like a little band really named awesome. Def Leppard.
Yes.
There you go.
Armageddon. Yeah, so I don't know. What do you think, Pete? Like, how did you feel about that?
It made me want to dive into British comics all the more, because I mean, a lot of us even today, I think, still have the first really strong impression of British comic creators. With the early Vertigo comics, yeah, with Alan Moore on Swamp Thing, with getting Preacher in there too, you know, with Grant Morrison, the Invisibles, with Animal Man, all that. But I think it was actually really everything I've ever seen and heard, because being an '80s kid myself, I can remember back when it really was just little Nothing magazines, and that was it, other than the chatter at the conventions for getting things passed around. And it seemed like Judge Dredd was what got the world, or at least the states, to pay attention to, oh, so these British comics, tell me more. and here was a man who many will argue really defined the visuals for Dredd, including but not limited to how freaking weird, even for comics, the villains in Mega City 1 are. just to give a quick rundown, since we have delightful audio visuals here. The Chopper, Otto Sump, Dave the Orangutan Mayor, Pug Ugly and the Buglies, The Stupid Gun, and Citizen Snork.
Citizen Snark.
I bet even if you've never seen a Judge Dredd comic, those names create pictures in your head. And wait till you see them. Wait till you see them.
Fantastic. Yeah, and in reading a little bit about him after he passed on, I actually didn't know that he also, you know, one of the reasons why Dredd was able to, you know, gain a whole new audience was that he, you know, did a weekly strip for the Daily Star, which is kind of like a, you know, sort of like a tabloid newspaper in the UK. And I didn't know that. I thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, so he, you know, here's Judge Dredd reading, reaching a whole new readership through the publication of this tabloid that, you know, that Ron had been working on. So I thought that was really interesting.
That's really cool. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I dig that. I'm into that. It's all good about some good tabloid articles, man. Right next to the human Bat Boy. Oh, yeah. That'd be Bat Boy and Judge Dredd, dude. That's dope. I'm into it.
Should be a crossover comic right there.
He was probably a villain at one point at Mega City 1. So that's fantastic. And just a huge loss, man. When you have artists like that, you know, the comic book industry changes, man, because someone right now penciling a comic book you know, you love, knows these books and was inspired by these books, and you know that's someone, you know, that is not around anymore to keep inspiring those generations. So if you're out there and you're creating, keep creating, because it's gonna hit with someone somewhere. You know, it may not be the major audiences that some of the stuff we talked about have, but it's gonna inspire somebody somewhere, and you got to keep creating that kind of stuff. So keep doing what you're doing, and Ron Smith, great quote, you know, just keep following the yellow brick road, man. Keep after it. So with that being said, let's get into some happier things, man. We talked about a little bit of some death here and some losses in the industry. Pete, you brought up a cool little subject with a couple of birthday anniversaries here in January. Popeye, 1010, and Batman Beyond all have anniversaries this month, and I just think that is quite the trio, if you will, to celebrate this month. Popeye, obviously, one of my favorite characters, and I think my favorite thing, I almost forgot about the character Popeye. Honestly, it was weird. I know it's hard to believe that, but until I saw the movie Wolf of Wall Street on that scene with all that going on and he's yelling about needing his spinach. If you have not seen the movie, just Google the scene. It's worth every minute you spend on YouTube trying to find it. But I love that Popeye's got an anniversary this year. Anybody you got stories around Tintin, Popeye, anything like that you guys wanted to chat about and give some love for? Batman Beyond. Gosh. Oh my gosh. Goodness.
I mean, Tintin, I could go on for a while.
Such as, please remind me how to pronounce the creator's name properly.
You mean Georges Remy? Or the fact that he wrote under the name Hergé? Which I'm probably mispronouncing.
See, I wouldn't have known that.
I'll go with both of those. Sounds right.
Yeah, he's Belgian. He's, again, part of that that group of wonderful Francophile Belgian cartoonists that I absolutely love and adore. Tintin is my childhood. Like, I did not really read comic books like we have here, like American ones. But I could check out Tintin's from the library. And there were no problems with that. And sometimes I would read them way too many times. And yeah, it's one of those international phenomena. It's been published in over 70 languages. I remember trying to get one particular book, and it was only available in circulation in French. And I said, "That's fine. We have a French dictionary at home. Just give it to me."
That's hardcore. That's hardcore.
Yeah. So I mean, what's not to say? It's fun. It's got all these. It's a nice stepping stone into like more sophisticated humor for a kid to be reading to. So if you're an adult who's sitting there reading this with a younger child, there is something for you to enjoy. It's not just going to be, you know, silly slapstick with no adult humor. But you also don't have to worry about your kids reading it.
You know. So. Tintin always just felt, and it's one of my biggest things with any sort of media, is making sure you respect your audience and treat them as this, they are intelligent. And I always got that from Tintin, even reading it as, you know, older, you know, getting into my teenage years, things like that. It always treated you as if you were intelligent, and I respected it for that. And Allie, I see you over here like raising your hand in the windows. Like, do you have something to say? Or are you just relaxing?
No, I was just putting my head down.
No, oh, okay. Hours, but, no big deal. No big deal.
Beyond, I'll stick my two cents in.
No, feel free. Jump in. Batman Beyond. Let's hear. What do you got about Batman Beyond?
That book is fantastic right now. You know, I'm a Batman fan, obviously, we know. But I was so skeptical about it when I started picking that book up. And I was like, this is just weird. Like, I had no idea what was going on. I was like, who is this person? What's going on?
Oh, but, so you didn't watch the show first?
No, I never saw
it. Oh, really? Okay. Oh, so man. Like? Yeah.
I'm really curious.
Continue your story.
I was so confused. I'm not even going to. I was like, who the heck is this person?
Terry?
First of all, what is going on? And then, you know, I was like, okay, obviously I've missed something. And so I went back and was like, oh, I get it now.
Which Robin took over the bat suit? What's going on right now?
Exactly. I was like, there's 15 million Robins. How did I miss one? you know, but right now, they're playing the long game with this book, which I was not expecting. So they've done something that they did in issue one that is now coming back. And I think we're on like issue, I want to say 29, 30, something like that. And there's a blast from the past, if you will, and it's going to be explosive and it's pretty sick. They've just gotten Robin, so we're going to find out what happens. But that book is fun. It's cool. I really like Terry. I'm not going to lie. I very much like Terry McGinnis for Batman. And if they ever decide to make a live action movie, Michael Keaton needs to come back as Bruce Wayne.
Oh, heck yeah.
Look at you. Look at you. Yes. You are plotting, and I like it.
Have you watched the animated series yet?
Oh, of the Batman Beyond. Not yet, but it's in my list. I'm finishing rewatching the Batman animated series because, you know.
Because it actually does follow up in many ways. And right. But guess not only do we have Kevin Conroy as Bruce, but guess who plays Terry? And like, guess who actually introduced us to Terry?
Who?
Remember the Disney show Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
Topanga?
Not quite. Not quite. Will Friedle, the older brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
He's Terry McGinnis, and he's freaking awesome.
Nice.
He was like, dopey on Boy Meets World, but that's awesome. I'm excited now. I'm really excited.
He's really cool. Like, cool. Highly recommended.
It's in my Amazon.
And oh my goodness, let me know. You have to let me know when you get to the Mr. Freeze episode. Oh. It's one of the best comic book things I've ever seen.
I don't think I'll sleep before work tonight. I think I'll just watch Batman Beyond.
Comics for All, ladies and gentlemen, enabling since 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All day long. And what was that show? What was the show with this, Pete?
Batman Beyond.
Batman Beyond.
I did not realize that's who that was.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Okay.
Boy Meets World, and then he was on. Actually, I think then he was on Kim Possible. No. He was on Boy Meets World, then Batman Beyond, then Kim Possible.
Then Kim Possible. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there we go. I did not realize that's who that voice was for that. So, because I'm like, what? Like, mm-hmm. What new Batman Beyond show are you talking? Oh, the original. Okay. Got it. Pete, any big love you want to give to either of these three on their anniversary?
Oof, man. I just.
All three. Whatever you want to do, man.
Oh, fudge, yeah. Fudge, yeah, man. Fudge. I mean, there's some. If you're new to Batman Beyond, partially as our good Miss Allie the Lil's Panda was, or completely new, I did find out. Be ready for a little bit of bickering about the origins of the plot lines in the show, and I understand that because even for Batman continuity, they're a little weird. But if you dive in from the beginning and start with the show story, as I kind of mentioned with that Mr. Freeze plot line, they're either good. Or they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Picture, if you want Batman and you want cyberpunk, go straight to that that cartoon. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And Popeye the Sailor Man, he's probably the only comic character as famous for his fisticuffs as Superman. You know, for just how hard and how off and how hard he was punching things, probably only beaten out by Superman.
Yeah.
When you think about it. And he's 90 freaking years old. Batman Beyond's been around for 20 years now.
But, wow.
But yeah, that's
Popeye
crazy.
And Tintin have both been around 90 freaking years.
Yeah.
That's wild, and you, man.
And you, dear listener, might not know Tintin very well. As you can tell, we're kind of a mixed bag ourselves too, but if you can think of Where's Waldo, but instead of a search game, it was Epic Tales of Action Adventure on how he got there or what happened right after that picture, you're not that far off. It's a tale of a child journalist and his dog traveling the world, and sometimes politically charged, literally to the point of editors, newspapers, whoever were saying, no, you need to write this one with him in the Soviet Union so we can combat the Soviet Union. You need to write this one. You know, that kind of thing, you know, all the way on out to straight up fantasy. And with actually style that was not unlike what you'd find in Where's Waldo, but a lot tighter in the lines, but still just nice, bright, vivid colors and big sweeping scenes. Highly recommended looking at least once.
Nice. I'm in.
And now I just have the old pop one of the many Popeye themes stuck in my head.
Popeye the Sailor Man, skip it, I do.
Shout out to Robin Williams, who was Popeye in that live action
creature.
Heavily based on the comic strip.
Oh yeah.
That's
sure.
Why it was so different from the cartoons, because it wasn't based on the cartoon.
And honestly, fantastic singer Robin Williams is Popeye, I'm not gonna lie. So
Oh yeah.
He was just amazing in general.
I'm so happy that there was a groan over there from Marley. That was great. You're welcome. Max, anything, any love you want to shout out for these three before we take off here?
I think everybody has said everything that needs to be good. Said. You know, all three of these things are awesome. I will say, though, I was never a Batman Beyond guy until I actually watched the animated series way late. Only several years ago did I watch it, and I really, really got into it. And then I really, really wanted to love, or I really wanted to get into, you know, Future's End, which was, you know, it was like a huge, like, 11-month miniseries that was put out by DC Comics in 2014, where Batman Beyond was one of the, you know, main primary characters, and I couldn't really get into that. But I did get the first few issues of this new Batman Beyond arc that Ali was talking about, and I did like it, so I should pick up the rest and continue reading it. But yeah,
there's Tintin, some really cool stuff in the recent episodes or issues. So
yeah, I need to get and Tintin, like, you know, Tintin, I haven't read that much of, but what I did read was fantastic. You know, people should go out and get those things. I have a few like kind of like omnibus collections here that are just fantastic. They're great. And Popeye, man, what can you say about Popeye? I mean, Popeye. Everyone should love Popeye, right? I mean, yeah. I grew up watching Popeye cartoons. Mm. And, you know,
He was public service.
Good about spinach.
He was a public service announcement before those were created on, you know, PBS. So.
Oh, 100%. Mm. I used to watch Popeye before I would, you know, get on the school bus as a little kid. So, yeah. You know, Popeye rules. Everyone should love him.
Nice. All right. Yeah. So. With that being said, we are going to wrap up here, man. We're all there. I think this is a great little comeback to 2019 here. I am going to finish with one of our favorite games on the show, a pick'em choice, if you will. So hopefully everybody still has their lists of their top five in front of them, because what we're going to do here with these brand new wonderful birthdays, I want you to pick one of your favorite comic books that would have got even better if we inserted Popeye, Tintin, and Batman Terry McGinnis in your book. Allie, which one are you picking to insert those three characters?
Okay, first of all, let me just point out that like three out of the five books on my list are horror books.
Yeah,
that are horrific.
This is gonna be fantastic.
The other two are Batman. So holy shit. Oh my god, dude, let's put Popeye and Juke Joint.
Okay, I'm into that.
That would be so horrific. Oh my god,
my brain hurts. And I would still read it.
I want to put Tintin in Gideon Falls.
Okay. Oh,
because then right. We can turn it to Tintin Needs Therapy.
Yes. Tintin at your local therapist till he's 25.
And let's put Terry McGinnis. I can't put him in a Batman because he's already in Batman. He's got to fix the freeze.
There you go. Okay. Got to fix the freeze. Got to fix the freeze.
He's got to use his super detective bat suit to like fix
He's on the come to Batman every 5 minutes.
Well, he needs to be entered into the new issue so he can be like, what did you guys do? And fix everything. So.
I'm glad you didn't do like a tropey, like, let's put the future Batman in past Batman's. And good move. All right, Pete, what are you gonna do, man? What books are you inserting these three iconic characters into?
Ooh, okay. So for the one I almost forgot to mention, Fearscape, wherein we find our fears are literally quite real, and we're only defeating them with every generation's greatest storyteller. I would put Popeye into that.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Because he's strung to the finish when he eats his spinach. He's literally he's so very much about faith when you look at it from a certain angle. Okay. I think he'd fit in nicely, especially as a real but not real person.
Gotcha.
I'm staying away from spoilers for that one, kids. So you'll see what I mean if you pick up Fearscape. Nice. They have delightful reprint covers. Try it out. I think it would be too on the nose to put Tintin into Fantastic Four, I think. Too on the nose. So I would put him into the Brave and the Bold because he definitely was not only a globetrotter, but he delved into the ancient world and the fantastic quite a bit too. So,
well, yeah, he was a Boston reporter. That's what they do, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think he would be a very, very welcome, very plucky and useful addition to Bruce and Diana, helping Lord Cerruno solve the mystery. And Batman Beyond, Terry McGinnis himself. Sweetheart. I think it would be very interesting seeing him discovering communities that are being haunted like that. I think that could be very cool.
Yeah, I'm into it, especially if we keep Bruce Wayne in his ear the whole time as he's running around trying to figure out what's going on, just yelling, Terry!
Terry, there's no such thing as magic. Keep your head together.
Keep your head, yes, absolutely.
It's Scarecrow all over again.
Marley, what about you? What you got for us? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm not afraid to put Tintin in with the Fantastic Four.
Of course you wouldn't be. Of course.
Of course I wouldn't be. It's my childhood meets my adulthood.
There it is.
Can you imagine how amazing that would be? Tintin, the reporter, sneaking onto the Fantastic Car. Heck yeah.
I'm in. You sold me that issue.
Can you imagine his little doggy trying to traipse around the negative zone and barking at something? Like, poor little Snowy. This would be terrible. I love it.
I smell a fantastic crossover.
There it is. Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I see what you did there.
I want Popeye in Magic Order.
Okay.
In the Magic Order. Popeye as a magician in the Magic Order, specifically.
Cool.
I don't know. I think that's another one where he could work very well, literally as himself.
Yeah. Well, either way, yeah. But can you imagine him in the middle of a face-off with Madame Albany?
He'd punch her.
It'd be fantastic, because his anchor would flex, and then she'd be like, "What is going on right now?"
Yeah, it would be amazing. And then I want Terry to actually go I have a draw here. Terry's going to have to either go and attend Batman's wedding, or he's going to have to climb around the rooftops of the highest house.
All right. Get it.
Yep.
Running around, jumping, figuring out how we can save these weddings and get them moving.
I know, right? Either that or have Batman yelling at him the entire time, "What are you doing? Come back here."
You're messing with the timeline.
That Bruce wouldn't know that. Terry. That's
why that wedding never happened.
There you go.
There's a whole booster
spoiler
problem in there.
Spoiler.
Booster.
Since we're bending space and time as hard as we can anyway, I want to sneak in an honorable mention real quick, both for best book as well as appropriate use of Tintin. Snuffy and Zoe.
We'll be the judge of that.
Snuffy and Zoe from Fair Spark Books.
Okay.
They are, less for my delightful co-hosts and director, and more for the listeners at home, a British publisher formed last year with the specific aim of making the best family-friendly comics. And this is a book that's about two little bears just living their lives, just playing and having a good time. Occasionally ticking off the weather by smacking it with their baseball, but And to give you an idea of the kind of style of the humor and art, you might already know the style a little bit of the gentleman John Silvestri behind it, because you might know the Star Wars Christmas special and how it introduced Boba Fett. Same guy. It's his comic book.
Got it.
So picture that art style and picture the kind of humor you could see coming from an artist who came up with that, and put Tintin and Snowy in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Kind of like Where's Waldo meets Calvin and Hobbes, if you will.
I'm in.
That's cool. I love Calvin and Hobbes.
Everyone should. All right, Max, bring us home, man.
Oh man, since we're warping time and space and messing with all of that, I think what would happen would be I think I would put all three of those characters right smack dab in Judas, because Judas clearly goes to hell, and so it would be awesome to see Tintin and Popeye and Batman Beyond all in hell with Judas, and you know, they're basically down there trying to fight their way out, fighting some Old Testament villains, you know. Kind of like a dark Fantastic Four, sort of speak, you know. That might be kind of fun.
So, nice.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm in. So insane. Awesome, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. You guys heard it right
Fantastic
here.
Fantastic Four. Good idea. Somebody pick that up, please.
Put it down a book, somebody.
Anybody.
I love it.
No, not anybody.
I love it.
At first, I kind of thought I might need to go wash after this, but then I remembered Godzilla in Hell, and I got really interested. It's really good. Seriously. It's really, really good.
Nice. All right. Well, there you guys go, man. I appreciate y'all for stopping on in tonight. Thank you, everybody, for checking out Comics for All. We are back. You'll be hearing much more from us next issue, next episode. We will be getting into some more of our previews with some new releases as well, so you'll be checking those out. Also, check us out on Twitter at All for Comics, as well as our new Instagram page, and that will all also be tied into our wonderful Facebook as well, where you can see some more of these previews. You can see some amazing images we'll be having loading up on there as well, with all these wonderful books, things that we're going to be talking about as well on those pages. If you want to check them out, if you want to join the conversation, Twitter is a great place to find us. Mr. Pete there is always on the keys, tickling the ivories, if you will, and making sure we're out there talking with everybody. So with that being said, everybody, where can they find you? Marley?
They can find me on Twitter at Marley and Marley Cricket. Sorry. Otherwise, I'm on Malice Court and writing under the name Cricket.
Nice. Lulz, how you doing, Allie? Where can you find you?
You can always find me on Twitter at Lulz Panda, LulzPanda, or on Instagram, where Matt likes to stalk and get angry, at LulzPanda.
It's not my fault you repost your own stuff.
And I'm on Reddit too, where I don't repost anything because Reddit will kill you.
There it is. I didn't get enough karma points for that. Pete, how about yourself, my man?
I try to keep it simple. I love heading up the Destiny 2 arm of Malice Corp, along with the good Miss Marley Bai here as Harris _ Doubledon. You already mentioned that I try to turbocharge the Twitter, and I'm also the good Mr. Igor on malice-corp.com.
Nice. And Max?
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at Turbo Comics ID, and you can also find us on Instagram at Turbo Comics, and on Facebook, Turbo Comics. Just search Turbo Comics, and you will find us.
I love it. And once again, follow the show at All for Comics on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me, the Big Papa Matt, on Twitter and Instagram as well. Thank you all so much for joining in, following along, and make sure to like, subscribe, and share with all your friends, your family, or just a good comic book buddy that you got around town as well. Thank you all so much, and we'll talk to you on the next one. Later, bye.
Bye-bye.